Welcome to Pop Culture Roulette for all your pop culture needs. We're America's podcast. And then at this point, I will debut the new song that we have, even though it's not episode 100, and I probably should hold on to it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Why not? We'll make 99.5 something special. So here is the new theme song.
We got it. Let's run it.
Absolutely. So hopefully you just enjoyed the new theme song. It was given to us by a gentleman named Nick Testa of Night Beast. I think he's done a couple other, I think he's in a couple other bands, but I believe that's the one he's in currently. Hopefully one of these days we'll have him on to properly thank him for giving us a theme song. But so we've
And
been away,
who knows, maybe many more.
maybe many more. So apologies, we've been away for a couple weeks. We've had some scheduling issues, and then I was off doing a secret project that I am legally not allowed to tell you about.
I know nothing, I saw nothing.
All right, we are legally still golden at this point, I think. But when I actually get to reveal it, I think you guys are going to enjoy it, and hopefully you will understand why we were gone for a couple weeks. Anyway, Justin, how's your week? How have you been the last couple weeks?
But good. Been busy. I work a lot, as you know, with two jobs. And then I've just been enjoying the sports season that's
All
upon
right.
us, and it's my favorite time every year.
Oh, this is a really good time of year. And because our Jeremy has been kidnapped by EA once again, he keeps
Our
bad mouthing him, and
Jeremy.
our Jeremy just he can't
He's
stop bad mouthing EA, and they keep kidnapping him. And one of these days, we'll stop paying that ransom,
he's
though.
not your Jeremy. Give him back.
Okay. All right.
I
So.
thought maybe he would be invading who makes all the monster cereals? Kellogg's?
Oh, is it? Yeah, it might be
I
Kellogg's.
don't
I
know.
don't.
Whoever makes them, he's probably trying to get some like exclusive merch or something.
Well, possibly. You never know. All right. Because he's not here, as is our way when we do one of these episodes, we're going to talk about sports. We're a couple weeks into the football season now. We're hitting the second round of the baseball playoffs. Hockey season's getting ready to start up, I think, Tuesday, which means training camp for the NBA is about ready to break.
Their
So,
spring, not spring training, preseason started today.
oh, preseason started today. So,
Yeah.
the regular season starting with the NBA. This is the one time a year where all four sports are basically crashing all at once. In a couple weeks,
And I
it'll
am
be
here for it.
absolutely. So, what sport do you want to start with first?
Well, we could start with whatever. It kind of felt like I should have done the introduction with the sports podcast, but it's fine. Or maybe I'll just throw it out right now. All right, welcome to the OT with JD. You got my special guest, Nicholas Pepin. You might know him from Pop Culture Roulette, and sometimes he's on Media Buzzmash. How are you doing, Nicholas?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
All right. Well, the first thing I'd like to talk about is let's talk about baseball. It's
All
the
right.
playoffs. The Brewers left in tremendous fashion. I think they're the first team to blow 2-4 run leads in the first series and get swept, and I don't remember how many years that was.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing. I really had them. I had them going to the NLCS because I honestly thought they could beat the Dodgers. I didn't think the Diamondbacks would be much of a threat, and I don't think too highly of the Dodgers, as was evidenced by yesterday when the Diamondbacks blew them out of the water. Good old Clayton Kershaw lit up 6 runs in the first inning.
Did he make it through an inning, or did he just go 2/3?
They took him out in the first inning. I don't know if he made it the whole inning or whole game or not. I was traveling yesterday, so I didn't get to see much of everything. My hatred of the Texas Rangers makes me want to root for the Orioles, and my hatred of the Houston Astros have me rooting for the Twins.
What? Clayton Kershaw made it 1/3 of an inning. 6 hits, 6 runs, 6 earned, and 1 walk. Would you like to guess what his ERA currently is?
Oh, geez. In one game, doesn't make it out of the first inning. Six runs, all earned, you said?
Yep, six hits, six runs, six earned, and a walk.
Two thirds of an inning. It's going to be like 54.
What? One third of an inning.
One third of an inning. Yeah. So like, 54, 52.
All right, now double that and then triple it. A
What?
162.
Oh, jeez.
That's not 1.62. That's 162.
Wow. That's bad. That's
Record
real
high.
bad. That's a
The
bold
ball.
strategy. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it works out for him.
Not good.
Now, honestly, I mean, I know the Phillies beat the Braves in game one, but I don't see any way that anybody's beating the Braves this year anyway. I mean, that team, that roster is just locked, stocked, and loaded. And winning four games against a team that is as good as the Braves is going to be really hard for anybody.
Texas won, so they're up 2-0 on the Orioles.
I mean, I love baseball. I'm a little disappointed with how the season ended for the Angels. Well, with David Stearns being hired on as the Mets general manager, and then them immediately firing or not renewing the contract for Buck Showalter,
Yep.
and the fact that Craig Counsell's contract is up at the end of, well, now it's up, right? He's a
It's
free
up.
agent. Yeah, he's a
He's
free. What are the chances that the Brewers keep him?
Give it a good 60%.
I mean, I know
60,
he's
60,
from the
40.
I know he's from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee area. Whitefish Bay, maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, I know, he loves it here, his family's here, he's obviously got roots because he went to high school here. I think him and Frank Caliendo were friends or knew each other when they were in high school. Some.
I think his kids play here too, though.
Yeah. So I think if anything, that might be enough for the Brewers to try to re-sign Counsell. But with the amount of money that
Whitefish Bay.
the amount of money that the Mets are about to back up to Craig Counsell's door, I have a hard time believing that he's not the manager of the Mets next year.
If he goes, is there any player coach you think would be a good fit as a GM? First time, current, or as a coach, not a GM?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope that not to knock Craig Counsell, but I hope that the next guy, if Counsell does go to the Mets, doesn't necessarily manage solely on analytics, because I think that backfires on him a lot.
Sometimes, yes.
Obviously, it's done really well for him. The Brewers have made the postseason more under him than I think in the entirety of the franchise.
Yeah, he's the winningest coach in Brewers
Right.
history.
But I do think that sometimes his analytics is what costs them at the end of the season when stuff matters, because he's worn the bullpen out. And I think sometimes he doesn't make the right choice in the playoffs because he goes, it has to be by the book. And there needs to be a good kind of balance between analytics and your gut. And I just don't know who that is right now, because I don't know if you're getting Snitker out of Tampa, I think is where Snitker went to. Yeah, there's a couple guys. I mean, I know who I don't want to see. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you take a chance on somebody like the Cubs did with David Ross a couple years ago, and go, you just retired as a player, like here you get to be the coach for the first time.
Yeah, it's not a bad move. I think, I don't know, I'd kind of like to see someone new. Not an old coach who's already been around.
Yeah, I
Maybe
mean.
one of like the minor league coaches or an up and coming.
I mean, because I mean, I know you're not going to want to hear the name because he's not, not a Brewer. He's from a team that you don't like. But a guy like Yadier Molina,
If he was on our team, I wouldn't have threw it against him.
is true. But I mean, a catcher of that caliber. I mean, catchers. I mean, look at the history of coaches. I mean, catchers have to run the field. They run the pitchers. They have a good feel for the game in general. I think Mike Socha made a great coach, and he was a pretty good catcher beforehand. Yeah,
Right.
I don't know if Yadier has any interest in being a coach.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I was trying to see if I could find a list of other former catchers who've become coaches.
But yeah, you're right. Probably a minor league guy would be nice. Give somebody new a chance, somebody who maybe can marry the analytics and the gut feeling, and kind of coach that way. This is not like the Brewers don't have a good team. And it's not like, I mean, I know people give Anastasio a lot of shit, but they don't have the money to spend like the Mets or the Yankees or the Dodgers have. So they have to be more creative. And honestly, look at the Josh Hader trade. I know everybody hated it at the time, but it really looks like the Brewers got the better end of that deal now.
Speaking of the Josh Hader trade, Corbin Burns, is he back? Is he traded?
Him and the Brewers got into such a fight at the beginning of the season. I would be shocked to see him back, but I guess it all depends on how much money they're willing to throw Corbin Burns' way, because I'm sure money will make a lot of bad hurt feelings go away.
I think they're going to end up moving him. Because,
I think
like you
so
said,
too.
they had so many issues with their whole
Well,
arbitration the first time.
yeah. And honestly, if you can take Corbin Burns, who's still got several years left and he's a very serviceable player, and turn him into what the Brewers did for Josh Hader. Because the couple players they called up this year, I mean, Devin Williams did a really good job as a closer. And the couple players that they got out of the Josh Hader trade really were kind of breakthrough players for the Brewers this year. And Josh Hader, well, the Padres missed the playoffs.
Yeah,
And it,
I would like to see the Brewers go younger with, like you were saying, if you can get some good minor league prospects, you get rid of Corbin Burns, get some good prospects.
Yeah.
You might have it a couple off seasons, but you'll be able to develop the guys. My
Right.
big concern with that is kind of seems like they want to move him out of Milwaukee, where they're like, we got to do these upgrades, and if the state and everybody's not willing to pay for it, we might have to move.
Yeah, I don't see the Brewers moving. I don't. I think it's going to be one of those things where some back underhanded deals and some backroom deals get made, and all of a sudden the stadium is getting funded. I can't see them. Oh, I can't see them leaving. Well, let's just call it Miller Park, because
It's Miller Park.
yeah, I can't see them leaving Miller Park because there's just too much invested in that, and it's not like that stadium is that old.
Yeah, you were saying some of the other stadiums like are literally falling apart.
Right. I mean, look at Wrigley. I mean, Wrigley is literally being held together by, baling twine and duct tape. I mean, Fenway is, well over 100 years old. Chavez Ravine with the Dodgers is, and the place that the Angels play are, 70, 80 years old. I mean, those are, they're of the four, oldest parks in the league. Miller Park just got opened, what, 2000, 2001?
Yeah, I think 2001.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a hard time believing it really needs $400 million worth of upgrades. I don't know where that number came from. I don't know if that's just the news media blowing some stuff out of proportion. But,
It's
I don't know.
probably one of those situations where like, oh, we need 400. And they'll be like, well, we can give you like 280. Oh, okay, we'll take it.
And I know part of it's, like the. Because I mean that's kind of what happened with the Bucks a couple years ago, when it seemed like it was inevitable that the Bucks were about to move to Seattle, and then all of a sudden, Wisconsin found the money, and whoever currently owns the Bucks found the money to get the Fizer built. So
That's yeah, that's a really nice stadium. You've been there?
I have been there. I've been there once. It is a really nice place.
Bucks game or other?
Bucks.
All right, well, since we kind of transitioned this over to the basketball, Bucks making the trade for Lillard. What's your thoughts? I know you're not the biggest basketball guy, but I know I texted you and Jeremy immediately after it happened.
I will say that it is a little sad to see Drew go,
Yes.
but
Great.
bringing in somebody like that on top of having and basically guaranteeing that Giannis is going to be re-signed long term. So now you've got Giannis and Drew, or not Drew, Giannis and Dame, which is probably the best front two in the league now, right?
Well, one's a forward, one's a guard, so it's front and back. But yes, that's
Yeah.
tandem, one of the
And
top
then,
tandems.
yeah. And then you add Chris Middleton and one. Do we have both Lopez's or just one?
We got both.
Well,
One's
say,
good, one's
the Lopez brothers
there.
and then Planet Pat. That's a damn good roster. That's it. I mean, that is going to be a hard team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I see it becoming between Milwaukee and Boston, especially with Boston making the trade.
To pick up Drew Middle, to pick up Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Because
Yeah,
then
I
you're
mean,
looking at Tatum, Brown, Holiday, Porzingis, and Horford as their starters.
yeah, I mean that's not a it's not a team to take lightly.
I mean,
Now,
the best thing I think Boston did was get rid of the two guys that flopped the most on Giannis.
so I mean, you know, if Milwaukee can stay healthy, which I mean that's the thing for any team.
Yeah.
If you know, if you can keep your health, you can keep your starters healthy. That team, it's gonna be really hard to beat them. And come playoff time, like, can you beat them four times?
Yeah,
You know.
if they're healthy, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're guaranteed NBA championship, but I would not be shocked if at the end of this year the Packers, not the Packers, the Bucks aren't holding another championship banner, you know, another trophy.
Yeah, that was one of my big things with the trade was yeah, it sucks seeing Drew go, but if it can keep Giannis in Milwaukee long term, like, hey, we're committed, we're gonna do whatever we can, and he stays, that's all that matters.
Right. You know, and getting rid of Grayson Allen, I think, might help because he was, you know, I don't know. I don't, liability is not the right word, but I know people don't like him.
Yeah, that's true. He's had some on the court antics.
Yeah. Not
But
just when,
I
not,
feel like he didn't have too many with Milwaukee, if any, that I could think of.
didn't he break the one guy's ankle or wrist? Oh, and I know a lot of his real on the court antics came when he was with Duke, but.
Yeah, and then early on too, in his like rookie season, he had some maturing to do, but I think he turned
Yeah.
it around. Him going to Phoenix, yeah, to be with that squad.
So I know a lot of it was sour grapes, but when what's his name? Emo Butler,
Yeah.
when Jimmy Butler went off about the Bucks being, you know, needed to be investigated for tampering because he wanted his buddy Dame Lillard, you know, Damian Lillard to be down there in Miami. Didn't the agent come out and be like, "No, we just
Yeah.
we got a better deal out of Milwaukee." Like,
Yeah, some of the stuff reported was like they asked Lillard where he'd want to go, and they brought up Milwaukee, and then he's like okay with it. So they talked to some of the Bucks office, and they're like, you know, don't let this get out into the press because they wanted Lillard out of Portland. And they're like, well,
right.
if they know he's okay with it, where they're just going to keep asking for more and more.
Because apparently that Miami was asking, Miami was trying to get a lot out of Portland,
Portland was
or
getting a lot out of Miami.
yeah, or you know, whatever it was. Like, basically, apparently, what it came down to was that Portland got a better deal for them, and Milwaukee got a better deal for them working together.
Phoenix got a good
And
deal too out
well,
of
and Phoenix got,
that.
you know, between the three teams, it was beneficial for all three. Where if Miami had been involved, like one of, like Miami wanted too much or wanted, you know, I don't know. It just, it didn't, it wasn't going to be beneficial in the long term, like it was for Portland. And, you know,
Yeah, and then with Portland turning around and moving Drew right away,
which
they
Pete.
got a bunch of stuff. Portland's gonna. They're going to be young. They're going to struggle. They got the picks in the next couple of years to add some real talent.
Well, because I know there was a lot of talk about, like, if they couldn't find a trade partner for Drew, which people weren't 100% if they were going to be able to or not, that they were just going to buy the contract out and cut it. And then at that point, everybody was like, well, then he's going back to Milwaukee.
Right. Which his contract's up at the end of the season, so he still might.
Right.
Like just opt out at the end of the year and come back.
Because I know he loved it here. He had just, I do feel kind of bad for him because I had seen in the paper, or you know, well, it was online. Who reads the paper? And the Journal Sentinel, where like they had a big headline article like Drew Holiday wants to sign long term, retire a Buck, and then like
And
2 days later they traded him.
the next day.
Oh, the next day,
The
yeah,
next day. Well, that's just kind of how the business of sports works. That that happened in the preseason in the NFL with one of the Packers players. The social media team like put out a thing like, you know, like or whatever to wish so and so a happy birthday. And then 6 hours later they cut him.
Oh, was that the Packers?
Yeah, that was the Packers this
I
season.
I thought that was the Browns.
No, the Packers did that
Oh,
to one of their
okay.
guys. I can't remember which one they did. But speaking of the Packers, what are your thoughts and feels now that we're, I would say, you can't really say a quarter, as these 17 games don't make an even
Right.
schedule.
I like what I've seen so far. I think they kind of fell apart at the end of the game against the Falcons, and that's a game they should have won. That one I think could hurt them at the end of the year.
Easily.
I think the Lions are better than they've probably ever been right now. It's a
Yeah.
little tough to see the Lions come into Lambeau and just kind of take it to the Packers.
They had no energy in that game.
I will be curious to see tomorrow night what happens with the Raiders. If the Packers come out and play flat like they did against the Lions, I will be concerned as to how the rest of the season is going to go. But if they come out and they play better and stick it to the Raiders like I think they can, although I do need Devontae to have a big day.
Is he going to be playing? Because I
They
know
have him listed
he had.
as what? They have him listed as questionable right now, so I'm keeping an eye on it.
I feel like he's going to be playing. Like if he
Yeah.
could be out there, he'll be out there.
Basically, that's what they said. They said if he can play, he's going to play because he wants this game.
Yeah, this
And
is
that's fine.
at
He
the
can have a
beginning of the
big.
year. This was one of those games I was looking forward to seeing Jair and Devontae, but
Yeah.
with both of them being banged up.
What's going on? I saw that they shut Bakhtiari down again for the year.
Yeah, he had to go in for another knee surgery, and then
Okay.
he's got to go in a couple months. In a couple months, to get something cleaned up. So they
This
just
is the third year. Honestly, shut it down for a career. It just it's not he's not coming back. You can't keep doing it. Like it's time to stop holding the Packers hostage with that position. And it's just time to go home. It's 'cause it's the same knee every time, right?
yes.
Yeah. So it's clearly never going to be back to football playing shit.
Yeah, and what like a lot of people are speculating too that that he'll get moved to the Jets at some point. But who's gonna want to trade for that?
No, I wouldn't. Nobody will.
He can't stay healthy. He's already said he doesn't want to play on turf.
Speaking of the Jets, ultimately it sucks for the Packers, but how funny, ironic, I don't know, was it to watch Aaron Rodgers blow out an Achilles
On the
four
third,
plays in?
yeah, third or fourth play of the game.
Yeah.
It sucked to see. Like, yeah, he's not our quarterback, but you never want to see somebody get hurt.
No. I mean, as a, I don't know. I feel like I should stop just calling myself a Packer supporter and maybe give in and become a Packer fan.
Well, plenty of room for everybody over here.
Well, see, this is what I'm thinking. Now that we have Jordan Love,
Do I give Love a chance?
I'm not a bandwagoner. Like, I'm getting in on the ground floor. Like, I'm not like joining in like 10 years into Rodgers, where he's already got a Super Bowl and a bunch of playoffs, and he's already kind of established himself as one of the greatest Packer quarterbacks of all time, like, or one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, not just Packers. Like, I'm getting in,
Oh, you could say just Packers because his stint with the Jets so far has been a big old goose egg.
Well, I know I'm talking about the like NFL history, not just Packer history. So maybe I'll maybe you know I've been contemplating this year. So right, you know what? Let's just say I'm now a Packer fan. That's it. I'm no longer just a
That's
supporter. I'm now just a Packer fan. All right.
wow. Welcome.
So as a Packer fan, I like what I've seen out of Jordan Love so far. I like what I've seen out of I think a lot of the problems the Packers have had, other than just injuries, is they are the youngest team in the league. Like, hands down. Like, by a lot too, not by like 6 months. Like, it's a lot. So it does suck watching Rodgers get hurt, because you do want to see Rodgers go on to compete and play well, but moving that pick from a first to a second also kind of hurts a little bit. I mean, not to say there's not going to be some pretty good players available in a second, but
Well, if you look at it with that too, if Rodgers would have played, what's the difference between, let's say, the 27th pick and the 36th pick?
good point. Because honestly, if Rodgers was playing with the with how good that Jets defense is right now, I think we'd be talking about the Jets and the Lions and going, how are these two teams actually good?
Yeah, I don't think the Lions are actually good. They looked good, but I don't think the Lions are actually good.
I don't know, man. They've played pretty well so far this year.
Yeah, and with the like, I've been on Jordan Love's. I'm not bandwagon, but since we drafted him, like I went out and I got a couple rookie cards, signed rookie cards, jersey rookie cards. Like I knew. Like there's something here watching some of his college stuff. So I'm glad like I was on that ground floor with him as well.
Well, as an owner, you kind of had to be, but you know.
That's true. But I don't think I had any say in who we drafted that year.
Oh,
I
no, they
must have
didn't.
missed that phone call.
You didn't get involved. You didn't get looped in on that conference call.
No. All right. Well, the Lions are 4-1 right now.
Right.
Somehow they beat Kansas City week one by one. They lost to the Seahawks. They beat Atlanta, Green Bay, and Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean,
And then,
although they did impressively beat Green Bay.
yeah, 20 to 34. Green Bay needs to figure out their run game. That's one of the things that's killing us, and how to stop the run.
Well, yeah, but stopping the run has always been a problem for the Packers for some reason.
Yeah, still remains one to this day, but like they haven't really played too tough of opponents, and it even seems like going forward, Tampa, Baltimore, and Las Vegas.
That's the next three for Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they have their bye: the Chargers, the Bears, Packers, Saints, Bears,
So, I mean, this season,
Broncos, Vikings, Cowboys, Vikings.
this season is kind of set up for them to be very successful. It's just going to be, can they keep it going come playoff time when they have to play real teams again?
Yeah, and I think what I heard too was next year we play the AFC North in the regular season.
Okay.
So like the way it works is the one seed plays the one seed, the two plays the two, so on and so forth. So there's a chance if the Packers and the Jets finish with the same position in their standings, we could play them next season.
The Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course the NFL is going to make sure that happens,
So
even if you're
they
not.
got to finish in the same position.
Well, I know the NFL can set the schedule however they want. I mean, they have to play their own division twice, but then the other schedule, the NFL can pretty much set it however they want, which is why every time there's a big trade like that, before the schedule comes out, it almost always invariably happens that team plays the other team that they just traded. There's almost no chance, unless Rodgers retires between now and when the schedule gets set, that the Packers are not playing the Jets next year, regardless of the how either team finishes.
Yeah, I gave someone a bold prediction with the Jets. They would still be a bad team. They'll get an early pick. They'll take a quarterback. They'll let Rodgers go, and then he signs with the Bears.
Oh, you
Everyone's
think the
like,
Bears?
no way.
You think the Bears, not the Vikings?
I would think the Bears. He doesn't want to be exactly like Favre, so he goes to the Bears.
I could see him going to the Bears because then the jokes about the owner is finally in the building.
Yeah. He would be one of the few owner players. I mean, we have a couple in Green Bay. I believe AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones own stock in the team.
Do you? I mean, because clearly the Bears are going to give up on Justin Fields. I mean, I know that the Bears had a good game on a couple nights ago. Justin Fields has not looked good. The Bears in general have not looked good. And I don't, you know, one game, because I mean, I don't know why everybody gives that guy such leeway and such, like, you know, they keep talking about him like he's this great player. Like, he's had a couple, 3 years now.
Fourth, because next year would be the final year of his rookie deal, I believe, which is a
Okay.
5-year deal.
He has not put a single impressive performance on the field. I mean, maybe like, well, I mean, I guess he did okay against whoever it was they won against on Thursday night. But I mean, for the most part,
The Commanders.
okay, yeah. In general, though, he has not looked good. He makes bad choices. Even in that game, he made a couple of bonehead choices. And the Commanders had a chance to come back in that game.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, at least it wasn't Miami, Georgia Tech, where Miami should have kneeled down, and they decided to run the ball and fumble and
Lose the
lost the
game.
game.
Yeah, one of the things I've seen with the Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback,
Yeah.
like he is allegedly, like said, there's only certain teams he'd want to play for.
Right.
And he still has a year of eligibility, so there's a chance if Chicago has the first pick, which right now I think they have picks one and two,
Right.
he could just be like, I can make more money with the NIL now, and I'm staying
Yeah.
here.
And I've heard the media say like that he's either come out and directly said that or hinted at it. And I don't know how much of a choice he, I mean, obviously, if he has one more year of eligibility, he can just go back and play college football. And, but I mean, at that point, then he has no control over it. I mean, unless he pulls in Eli or who was the other one who did that? Denver called Elway,
Yeah.
where he gets drafted and goes, well, I'm just never going to play. I just won't play then. I'll sit out for a year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess that's the only other option he has. He can be drafted and then just refuse to sign and sit out for a full year before he's eligible to sign with whoever he wants, right?
I don't know if that's what it is anymore. That's how it used to be.
Oh, okay.
Things are always changing with other negotiations. All right. Well, I guess the last thing I'll have for our sports thing for you before we turn the show back over to you. Did you watch the Jaguars, Falcons, Andy's Room, Toy Story game?
I saw highlights.
What do you think of that idea?
I think it's fun for a novelty. I hope they don't try to do it like every week. I
Like, do you
mean,
think maybe like once a season, trying to like introduce the younger audience?
I didn't watch a lot of it. I was in an undisclosed location, so I didn't.
Sequestered.
I was sequestered, so I didn't really have access to my Disney Plus account, so I couldn't watch that live. I did see a bunch of highlights of it, and it looked fun. It looked cool. And the fact that they were able to use the technology that they have to animate live while the game was happening was kind of cool. And, some of the special effects made the game look fun. I don't know if I could watch a whole game like that.
I made it through a quarter and a half of another one-ish. And like some of the stuff was pretty cool they were doing. You know, they're kind of explaining things more to kids. You know, they kind of did the Russian nesting dolls with like the defense, and they did like the linebackers, and they kind of broke down each position and what the actual point of them, what the point of those were. And then they would interview players mid-things, being like, who's your favorite Toy Story character? Which Toy Story character would you want on your football team? What position? So they definitely aimed it towards
Right.
that younger child audience.
Do you think if we did it one, if they did it once a year, do you think if they did it once a year, they would change it, or is it going to be toy? I mean, like, so it's Toy Story this year. Next year is like Monsters, Inc. Maybe the, I mean, I don't know if you could do the Incredibles, but like, somewhat like just change the Disney property or Pixar property.
Yeah, I think so. Depending on which movie's popular, because they didn't really introduce many of the Toy Story stuff. Like they showed the little characters. They had the claw as the ball placer. Like the claw would come and set the ball down on the field.
Yeah.
And then Slinky Dog was the yard markers. So he would
Right.
walk forward. So I mean, you could do that kind of stuff with like Incredibles. Maybe you have like Elastigirl. Is
Yeah.
marking the downs. You could have Jack-Jack run out there to spot the ball. Not Jack-Jack,
Okay.
Dash.
Well, yeah, Jack-Jack could do all sorts of weird things, but
You never know what Jack-Jack's gonna do.
yeah, so I mean, maybe the Incredibles world would be fun. I would definitely watch it. That going on my way to watch it, unless I was sequestered again. That seems unlikely, but
Someone slips on the turf, and maybe Frozo was out there, and
yeah.
they show him like, oops.
But I was thinking like the world of Monsters, Inc. could really provide a lot of fun for like sideline stuff and like touchdown stuff. And but I mean, you got a couple different properties you could switch between, if you going forward. I don't know if you'd ever want to do like Frozen or Beauty and the Beast. I
Yeah,
think
it'd be harder to do some of that stuff.
Cars might be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Disney would stick to just doing a Pixar, or I don't know. I mean, they could even just do a combined like Disney Playground set, and just combine all of the franchises. It could be a surprise as to who shows up altogether.
But if they do this in the future, I think they'll keep doing it with the London games. Because then it's at 8:30 in the morning, so it's that early.
Right.
Because I don't think you're gonna want a lot of kids are gonna be sitting down at noon.
No, and I think that people would probably complain about it more then than they did now.
But yeah, you had the option to watch either or, depending on which service you're on.
Right, yeah.
All right.
So.
I'd say that's all I got for you, so that'll be the end of the that's it. I don't have a closing for the show. I have an opening. I don't have a closing. So take it away, Nicholas.
All right. Well, we're gonna combine the two of pop culture and sports together like we do anyway. Let's talk about Taylor Swift taking over the NFL.
Yes.
I have really thoroughly enjoyed several of the memes. One of my favorite was, "Welcome Taylor Swift fans to the NFL. Here's a quick recap. You have to move the ball 10 yards, and you have 4 tries to do it. If you don't, then you have to give the ball back. Are you, but basically, it was just like a quick. It was like five or six, like just quick, like easy descriptions of the rules. It's kind of like this is why certain things are happening. But my favorite was the like point number six was the Cowboys suck. They always suck. Don't listen to the Cowboy fans, despite what they're going to tell you.
Did I send you that one with the jerseys with
The
all the
one,
different the j jersey names on the back with Kelsey?
I've seen. Oh no, I don't know
All
if you
right.
sent me that one or not. I know there's one where the Eagles. Because the Eagles also have a one of the Kelce brothers.
I sent you the one that I find pretty amusing.
That's the one I was thinking of. Well, and because we're not a safe, we're not a kid-friendly podcast.
And these are names.
These are names. You have not Travis, Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelsey.
Who? Which one is Cox? I can't remember.
Fletcher, I
Brent
believe.
Fletcher
Because
Cox.
Brenton's the Packers.
Jalen Hurts, and then Jalen Swift
Deontay Swift.
Deontay Swift. So standing in a line, you have Kelce, Cox, Hurts, Swift. I mean, those are four gentlemen's names who happen to be standing next to each other.
That
Which
is some
reminds,
sixth grade humor.
did you see the NIL in it was Iowa football
I
NIL.
was it Iowa State or whatever it was with those weird pants?
No. So it just so happens that Iowa State happens to have four men. One of them's last name is Purchase. One of them's last name is Moore. One of them's last name is Hammond. And the other one's name is Bacon. So a big pork industry hired all four of them to stand next to each other. Purchase, Moore, Hammond, Bacon.
Yep, as I believe that was Iowa State. I think it was the Cyclones.
Yeah, you're right. It was Iowa State. Yeah. Because I just typed in Iowa football NIL deals, and that's the first one that comes up. But yeah, I don't know if any of those four men are any good at football. They're playing for a major college in Iowa State, so they must be better than I am. But yeah, it is, it's quite humorous that they, but yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. But yeah, the jersey sales for Kelce are going out of crazy. But
Like
have you seen?
400% or something.
Yeah, but the memes are the little TikTok videos of men, women going to their boyfriends or husbands or significant others or even sons, and being like, "Can you believe that Taylor Swift made this Travis Kelce guy famous?" Like,
Yeah.
and watching them like freak out, like, "No, you don't get it." Like Kelce was, and their wives just like dying laughing because like they know that they're.
I've been asked if we could go to a Packers Chiefs game this year because they play them, I think, at Lambeau this year. So
Oh, so
they could be in the same place stadium as Taylor Swift.
is have they announced that Taylor Swift is coming to Lambeau or not, or
I don't know. She just kind of seems to show up with Travis Kelce everywhere. Doesn't she have like
right? Yeah,
her own shows to do?
I don't. Well, she apparently is done with the shows because she's been at the last couple games. Oh, was she at
Yeah,
today's game?
I believe so.
No, oh, okay,
Yeah,
so.
would you like to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin on December 3rd?
No.
As a matter of fact, I would not. Well, I would.
Well, yeah, I mean, all right. Well, then let's Taylor Swift taking over the NFL was something I never saw happening, but it surely has. So,
Yep.
have you watched anything worth talking about over the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Yes. What have I watched recently? I watched Black Friday.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a lot of fun.
That was enjoyable.
The Bruce Campbell one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Enjoyed it. Definitely
Yeah.
enjoyed it. There
Yeah.
were some parts that were a little slow, but it was good.
Yeah.
But especially when the manager in trainee, we'll say, tries to talk to it like person to person, and
Yeah.
it just backhands him.
Yeah, I did thoroughly enjoy that movie. That was pretty funny.
I watched Spiral.
That's that new Saw movie.
Yeah, because the new one's coming out
Oh,
soon or
okay.
already out.
Oh, is that the Chris Rock one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I did watch that one.
Why?
I don't know.
That was my feeling. It was why?
I just it reaffirmed because I watched the first four, maybe five Saw movies, and then I was like, I'm done with this franchise. I'm not gonna watch it anymore. And then Spiral came out, and I got a lot of good reviews. And I think our podcasting partner had given it a quite glowing review, and it had Chris Rock. So I was like, okay. So Jess wanted to watch it, so we watched it. And I was like, this is why I don't watch these movies.
And Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, I was just kind of like, why? Why is this a thing? Okay. Another new one I watched. I watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
I saw that was up on Peacock. I don't know if I can bring myself to watch it. Is it as bad as I think it is?
It's another why kind of
Okay.
movie. But
All right.
not terrible. Like, there's reasons it's not bad. It's kind of weird, the whole reasoning and thing, and I guess they're making a sequel.
Yeah, and then there's some other franchises that apparently have gone public domain that this guy's gonna try to destroy.
All right.
I don't necessarily know. Like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You know?
That's fair. But yeah, it was one of the, it was something with that. And then the last new movie I watched was, I watched The Blackening.
Oh yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah, another
Is
one.
it
It's,
funny?
it has moments, but a lot of it is just kind of like, it's just kind of like a movie.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
That's what I've watched, but that's newer stuff. I'm still kind of like watching Monk and some of that stuff
Yeah.
while I work around the house.
In my sequestering, I watched a lot. We won't talk about a lot of it because most of it was not worth talking about. But I did go see the creator. Gareth Edwards, the guy who directed Rogue One,
I
and
think Rogue One was the one I didn't care for.
what he directed the newer Godzilla movies, or Godzilla, not the Matthew Broderick one, like the 2014 one.
Okay.
So he can direct the big budget kind of big.
Did he do Godzilla vs. Kong?
I don't remember. I know he was part of it. I don't know if he directed it. He might have just produced that one. But that was from his franchise. Like
Set it all up.
he set it all up. So the create have you seen anything about the creator?
No, I don't. Now I might have seen the trailer, but I can't really remember off the top of my head.
Okay, so it's set in a world where AI, like robots, haven't taken over, but AI is fully integrated. And they've kind of made robots to look human, but like they've got like this weird like cone in their head, like this like hole in the back of their head, so you know that they're robots.
Yes, okay.
Something happens where a nuclear bomb goes off in LA. The American government blames AI, says the AI was trying to take over. So they immediately start a policy to destroy all AI. So it's
Destroy
set
all
in
the
this,
robots.
so it's set in a world where the Asian countries have decided that they're still cool with it, and the American government. So it's there's a lot of really big concepts and a lot of really heavy thinking, and weird concepts that are introduced. So I feel like I need to see it a second time to really fully like determine what I think about the movie. Visually, it was stunning. John David Washington, Denzel's kid, was in Tenet, a couple other things, but he was the main guy in this movie, did a phenomenal job. It's one of those where like I really want to like it, but there was a few things that happened in it and it was a little slower. But it was such a heavy movie that like I don't think I digested everything that happened the first time I saw it. Like I need to see it a second time to really fully. That's my review of like, yes, maybe.
Maybe.
I did
So
watch.
like the stamper, it's been pressed on the ink, but it doesn't know if it's going to the paper.
Yeah, I mean, like I want to give it a 7, but like if I watch it again and I think I fully truly understand it, the rating could plummet. But it also could maybe bump itself up to an 8 or a 9. Like it's in that, you know. But I did watch a couple other movies. Have you ever watched the Fletch movies with Chevy Chase?
No.
Okay.
I know of them, never seen them.
I think you'd enjoy them. They're really fun. I mean, I know you don't hate 80s movies like some people do. Fletch and Fletch Lives, totally worth watching. Anyway, a year or two ago, they made Confess Fletch, but they gave John Hamm the role instead of Chevy Chase. It's not, I don't think it's based off of those movies. I think it's based off the books that they came from, but it's fun. It's a good watch. So I'd recommend that one. But I watched a movie series. I watched both of them. And I think they clearly set it up for a third one. The first one was called Becky. Kevin James is the bad guy. They shaved his head, gave him a giant beard, kind of like ours.
Kind of like ours. We do have some beards, so you can't see it, but take our words for
But
it.
they shaved his head and put a swastika on the back of his head. And he escapes from prison and like they don't really explain what he's trying to do. He's trying to get a key in a basement. They never explain what the key is for. It's kind of the MacGuffin to be why he's where he is. Joel McHale was actually in the movie too.
Oh, Crime Scene Kitchen. I've been watching that.
Oh yeah, that was I like that one. It's a lot
Me
of
too.
fun. So it's weird to see Ke it was weird to see Kevin James as the bad guy. But the 13 or 14-year-old, maybe 16-year-old, I can't remember how old she's supposed to be in the movie. Like they start terrorizing her because they're trying to break into the house and she, you know, murders them all in weird fashions.
All
It's
right.
kind of a horror movie, but like it's kind of a like it's a home invasion, but like she fights back. It's Home Alone if Kevin was a little psychotic.
Got it.
And then they did a second one called The Wrath of Becky, where it's set a couple years after the first one and she's tried to move on with her life. And then she accidentally gets involved with a group led by Sean William Scott, who is playing a kind of a like a psychotic, like men first, like, you know, oh, women are stupid, men's rights kind of, you know, moron group. So it's
Right.
kind of weird that both movies. So I'm kind of curious to see them do the third one to see what like comedic actor they sign up to do the bad guy role in the third one.
Okay.
Because, you know, like you don't necessarily see Sean William Scott or Kevin James as bad guys. Well, I've never seen Kevin James as the bad guy. And I'm struggling to think of any time I've seen Sean William Scott as the true, like he's been the jerk, but never
Yeah,
like the true, like,
he's been the goon,
yeah.
if you
But
will.
like, but he wasn't like the bad guy. Like, I mean, in American Pie, he was kind of the dick, but like
Yeah.
this one, like he's just, you know, the like he's evil. So I'd recommend them. They're fun watch. I mean, both of them were, I think, barely an hour and a half. So,
Okay.
you know, it's I had Showtime in the place that I was sequestered, and I don't have Showtime here at my house. So
I think we have it for another month or two.
Becky and Wrath of Becky are on Showtime.
Or maybe it's Stars.
But so if you do have Showtime, I'd recommend watching it in the next month. Confess Fletch is a comedy mystery. So, but it's one of those like kind of fast talkers, you know, like there's a lot of talking, not a lot of action, but you know, it's funny, you know,
All
it's
right.
humorous. John Hamm is just, you know, really good at what he does. You know,
Yeah.
he's not necessarily a comedian, but he can do comedy.
Yeah, he can deliver a pretty good punchline.
Yeah. So that's what I recommend those movies. Still holding off on recommending The Creator. But yeah,
I
hopefully in
recommend Black Friday.
I think I recommended that one when I watched it.
That
So now
for sure.
you've got at least two or three of us.
Two-thirds
Two
majority.
thirds majority. Give that the PCR stamp of approval right there. And I think I can speak for Jeremy in saying that had he watched the movie or if he watched the movie, he would also like it. I think it would be a unanimous three person. I don't think that would be a movie that he would not enjoy.
Did you ever get a chance to check out Asteroid City?
Yes.
Worth it?
It's Wes Anderson. I really enjoy his work. It's one of those that I need to watch again,
All of his
because
movies you need to watch at least twice.
yeah, because it was one of those that I think I fell asleep for a few minutes here or there because I tried to watch it too late at night. But also, like, again, there's just so much talking. Like, you kind of have to watch it a second time to make sure. Because I know, like, every time I watch Rushmore, I just like that movie more and more. I haven't watched it forever. I need to watch that one again.
I like that. That's kind of what I feel with Grand Budapest Hotel.
I need to watch that one again, too. I really liked it the first time I
Ev
saw it, but.
every time I watch it, I find something else.
All right, well, hopefully next week we'll actually do episode 100. We're not going to call this one 100 because, you know, it's just
Might
going to just be
the
a
99 and a half, 99 and
99
a
and a half.
third.
Yeah, I might, you know, 99.75 because it's going to be a little longer than a half, but it is what it is. So just remember that if you thought that Travis Kelce wasn't famous before Taylor Swift, stupid never walks alone.
Comic books have been around for almost a century, and in the last two decades, we've finally gotten to see many of these characters brought to life in movies and on TV. On the Moving Panels podcast, we discuss movies and TV shows based on, inspired by, and adapted from the world of comic books. Join me and my guests as we discuss both the good and the bad from Marvel, DC, and even some of the lesser-known comic book companies. Learn what is and isn't from the comics, as well as our nerdy review of the movie or show. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. So join us for Moving Panels, and I'll see you on the other side of the page.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and listen to an 80s flick flashback podcast once in a while, you could miss it. Do you love movies of a certain age? Do you miss the days of VHS tapes, VCRs, and the video rental stores? Does the thought of another 80s movie being remade seem inconceivable? My name is Tim Williams. I'm the creator and host of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. On each episode, I'm joined by guest co-host to discuss one of the many movies released in the 1980s. We share our first-time watch memories, our favorite scenes, and even learn some behind-the-scenes stories about the cast and crew along the way. New episodes are released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting platform. So make like a tree, get out of here, and go listen to an excellent episode of the 80s Flick Flashback Podcast. The ad is over. Go home. Go.